This week on Win, E3 bites the big one, Warner Brothers digs their grave even further, and why is every game dying? Hello, and welcome to another wonderful Weekend News podcast here at VGU.TV. I am your host, Graydon Webb, and this is the show where we go over the last couple of weeks of entertainment news, complete with plenty of lengthy tangents and technical mishaps. My co-host for today, on episode 69, nice, is of course the phony brony, Alan Muir. How are you today, boss?
I'm actually doing okay.
Awesome. Are we able to talk about your endeavor with your profile pic, or is that like a secret behind the scenes thing?
That is, I'm still doing that's still like a, like you have to be on you have to be in our Discord to actually see said thing. So I'm just going to say I have something planned to commemorate it, and yeah, I'm gonna try to get that done sometime tomorrow.
Hell yeah, we'll keep an eye out for that. Wherever.
YouTube.
Yeah, that. God, we're off to a great start.
Rollicking good start.
Well, we are going to kick this off. This being our first show of April. And looking at the list, there is an obscene, I would say this is where like 2023 is really going to kick off. We obviously have games picked out, but there is quite a few notable releases, which I'll mention like at the end of our picks. But if you want to just, yeah, well, go ahead.
There's a certain game on here that I thought I was not expecting Graydon to choose that one. I was expecting it to be this game that Graydon is a stan of, and has stand for the entire time I've known him.
Yeah, I honestly, when I was looking at the list, I forgot that was coming out this month for just a split second. And I don't know. It's definitely one I'm excited about, but the one that I chose is one that I'm so intrigued by. Like, I know what I'm going to get from the elephant in the room being Dead Island 2. I know what I'm going to get from that, but what I chose is something new and unique, and I'm genuinely very excited to try it out. So, but speaking of, I don't even want to say more of the same, something that you know that you'll enjoy, at least. I will say your choice is honestly
on brand.
I've been a bit more excited for it. When I see, there's been like a lot of Snapchat ads popping up for it, and I'm more excited about playing your choice than Dead Island, even, dare I say.
I had to cancel my pre-order for Dead Island 2.
Oh no.
Not because I'm not going to play, because I don't want to play it, because it's just going to end up taking up, like, I have a pile of games on my, like, next to my my PC tower. That it's just stacked with Xbox. It's basically stacked with games.
Mm-hmm.
But the game that I'm going to try to, or that will be about 3 weeks from now, no, 4 weeks, is Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And did I call it or did I not call it?
What part?
Okay. So remember when we did the last episode we did in 2022, the Game Awards episode, or
yes,
the Game Awards bonus episode. We were and they showed off the trailer for Jedi Survivor, and we were talking about like I was gushing over the trailer, and I'm calling this right now. The character in the back to tank is going to be a character from the High Republic era, and it is.
Oh, it is? That's confirmed?
Yes, yes.
Oh, damn. That changes things.
Yeah. Like the character who you end up finding if you see a character in the advertisements or in the promo stuff who's saying how could you let the Republic fall to incompetent group such as the Empire?
Mm-hmm.
Because he was from the High Republic era, and the best thing I saw about this, and it has nothing to do with the game, it has to do with the mindset this character has to be in.
Mm-hmm.
is basically waking someone up from taking someone who from the 1800s and waking them up now.
Mm.
Like waking up 200 some odd years later. And I have not looked into the book that bridges the gap between the two games.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not actively seeking out information about this game. I'll watch gameplay. I won't watch trailers. But that said, I am saying I'm really hyped is a really severe understatement.
Yeah. I don't see this game being able to really do much badly. Like, all they can really do is build upon the just fantastic stuff that they had with Fallen Order. And I'm just really excited. I was literally at work today going, I wonder what they're going to do to bring things into the canon. Because, like, I mean, I've been loving this freaking Mandalorian season, and, like, Rise of Skywalker, I really fell off, and I was like, I don't care about this anymore. And then Mandalorian has grabbed me again, and then this week with, like, cameos and there's callbacks, and, like, it's so fan servicey that I'm just riding it. And I really hope that Jedi Survivor has, like, some cool little Easter egg things. It's so good.
Yeah, there's only downside I'm noticing with a lot of Star Wars stuff is since Jedi Fallen Order, they have been using, and when I say they, I'm referring to Lucasfilm, have been using a lot of stuff, like using a lot of different forms of media to tie into the whole reveal in Rise of Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
For God's sakes, the both shows right now, Mando and Bad Batch, tied into, like, have very strong ties to Rise of Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just hoping that I don't have to hear it. I'm just hoping I don't have to hear Palpatine at all, or see Palpatine, or hear just have any. I just hope he's far removed from the game.
Yeah, I don't want him in the game. I do hope Mandalorian goes a certain way with the story that they've set up to maybe do some Rise of Skywalker stuff. It would make me like Rise better, but that is Mandalorian. Jedi Survivor, I think they can do some cool stuff with, and yeah, it's gonna be great.
So what is your game of the month?
So my game, my little out of left field choice is Tron Identity, which, if you've seen anything about it, the most we've seen really, I think, is that trailer from the Nintendo Direct for a while ago, and basically it's a Tron, not visual novel, kind of Telltale game type of thing. It's very, it looks like it's slower pace than what you would think a Tron property would be, but they're saying it's like a digital mystery. If you've ever played one, which would be Thomas Was Alone, Volume, what's the other one? I've been seeing a lot of Mike Bithell stuff. John Wick Hex.
Yeah, I forgot he did that.
Feel like he did something else, but oh, Solitaire Conspiracy, and those games are all like very, very story heavy. So if you are into that sort of thing, as I am, as I know Alan is, I'm just excited to see what this can be. I really just want to see how much like gameplay there is to visual novel type of gameplay. Like, I just want to see what, I don't know anything. I really don't know much at all. And I really like the Tron world. I like the art that's going into this. I feel like there's a lot of love going into it, and it's just going to be something different. And I'm really, really excited about it. Is it a Switch exclusive or PC, Switch, and Mac? That's all it says here. So that's interesting. But yeah, it looks really cool. It is labeled as a visual novel, so maybe that is what they're really saying it is. But there's some puzzles and stuff, and yeah. So are you interested in this one at all?
Honestly, ever since I saw the, or ever since I watched the first Tron, like maybe 15 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I tried getting into more of the stuff, like more of the, like the in universe stuff, like the Disney XD show.
Yeah, Uprising.
I even tried Tron 2.0, which is going a bit, it's like doing a Halo jump inside a rabbit hole.
Forgot about that game.
Yeah, it's a damn good game.
Hmm.
The only thing that could hinder your enjoyment of it is mainly the stuff with controls. I don't think I'm gonna give it a chance I don't think I'm gonna give it a chance. I wish I could give it a chance. I just first I was backtracked or behind on Dead Space, then I'm behind on Resi 4, which that game oh god, that game is amazing. And yeah, now I'm still trying to get OBS to work with some, you know, I'm dealing with a lot of technical tech issues.
Hmm. Well, shall I walk you down just a few more games that may take up your time as of April?
Sure.
Because you've got so much on your plate, but just a couple ones that are standing out to me on this list. I don't know if you were into Meet Your Maker, but that's one that I've been hearing a lot about. It's like a Mario Maker meets Dungeon Crawler. We have Road 96 Mile Zero, which I'm very excited about. We have, hold on, scrolling really slowly here. We have a lot of Pokemon Scarlet Violet stuff. Like, is that just like expansion passes? We have Tron Identity, Overwatch Season 2. Oh boy. Ghostwire Tokyo comes to Game Pass. If we haven't played that, there will be that. There is that. Ooh, that PC game Boundary. That looked awesome. That's space shooter. Mega Man Battle Legacy, Battle Network Legacy, which I know that you're excited about.
10 games.
And 10 games?
Yeah.
Oh, dear God. Holy shit. Minecraft Legends comes out. We have Disney Speedstorm finally, which I'm excited about. We have Horizon Forbidden West Burning Shores DLC. We have Coffee Talk 2. We have Dead Island 2. We have Advanced Wars 1 and 2 Reboot Camp finally. There's something else too. Oh man, there's all these things. Strayed Lights, which I saw at PAX East and people were talking about a lot. And wait for it. Ooh, The Last Case of Benedict Fox comes out in April. That one looked awesome. Possibly Star Trek Resurgence. So that's a lot of games.
Okay, I may have to pre-order Star Trek Resurgence if possible. Because
it says TBD, but it's aiming for April.
I'm trying to remember. Adam Jensen, his voice actor. Ooh. Or his actor. Like the actor who portrayed him in the two Deus Ex Human Revolution, Mankind Divided. He's going to be in Resurgence as well.
I like that guy.
Yeah, he's great in everything he's in. And on top of that, like the guy they have playing Spock, who is just super uncanny valley in terms of audio. Like if you put on the video of like the video of the gameplay or the cutscene video of him of Spock in that game, you'll be just unnerved in a good way. Also, never been a better time to be a Star Trek fan.
I hear you guys talking about Picard all the time.
Hey, it takes 3 years for a Star Trek show to get good. Or at least to hit its stride if it's not good.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy that it's treating you well. Speaking of treating us well, the past 2 weeks have maybe not treated us too well, but we're going to go over some of those stories because it is time for
the news, bada duda. Yeah.
And it's time for the news.
You're taking that first story, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
The story comes to us from Polygon. Beloved TMNT graphic novel, The Last Throne, and is becoming a video game. This is written by Michael McWhorter. And a new, very different style of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game is currently in development. An adaptation of The Last Ronin, the 2020 graphic novel is told a grim, futuristic story about the Turtles. Like the comic, The Last Ronin video game adaptation will be a darker, more mature take on the typically colorful Ninja Turtles, according to Doug Rosen, Senior Vice President for Games and Emerging Media at Paramount Global, the rights holders for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. In an interview with Polygon last week, Rosen likened the upcoming third-person action role-playing game to Sony's recent God of War titles, and said it would be authentic to the story of The Last Ronin arc, which is set in a future where only one of the Turtles has survived. While other TMNT games, like last year's Shredder's Revenge, are typically about playing as all four Turtles, and sometimes Splinter, April O'Neil, and Casey Jones, The Last Ronin will be a primarily single character game. Though Rosen posited that other characters could be playable in flashback sequences, similar to how the comic series plays out, the primary action is said to center on the only surviving turtle. The identity of that lone remaining Ninja Turtle was something of a mystery when the Last Ronin comic series was announced. The arc story was built around a Ninja Turtle who wore a black mask and fought using all four turtles' signature weapons: Nunchaku, Sai, Bow Staff, and Dual Katanas. It wasn't until the final pages of the first issue of The Last Ronin where the lone surviving turtle's identity was revealed: Michelangelo. The remaining turtles, as well as Master Splinter, have all been exterminated by the Foot Clan, leading Mike to seek justice for their deaths in a battle ravaged New York City. A publisher, IDW, launched The Last Ronin in 2020 as a 5-issue miniseries. The arc was written by Kevin Eastman and based on an idea he first conceived with TMNT co-creator Peter Laird in the late 80s. And like The Last Ronin comic book series, the video game will target an older audience, just like the recent collaboration with Call of Duty that brings Shredder to Activision's shooter franchise. Rosen said that there are opportunities for multiple TMNT games aimed at both young and more mature age groups, and that Paramount can take, quote, multiple approaches to the franchise and not dial back to make the game something it shouldn't be.
I'm sorry, did you say Shredder is in Call of Duty?
Yes, he is.
Oh my god, what?
Shredder's got a gun.
It's my favorite Aerosmith song.
Last Ronin video game adaptation is being developed by an unnamed studio and is likely, quote, a few years off from release, Rosen said. And like Shredder's Revenge, developed by Tribute Games and Dot Emu, and the Cowabunga Collection, developed by Retro Game Collection experts Digital Eclipse, Rosen said they found the right partner to adapt Last Ronin into an ambitious AAA video game. So, I never thought I'd see the day when Paramount would actually invest in, simply put, AAA video games.
Yeah. It's pretty wild to see. And it's awesome to see properties like that being put into video games, but it's pretty random. I remember seeing this story pop up and I was like, what? Is that a thing that even was ever considered? But it's hopefully going to be really cool.
Yeah, because there was a... Okay, so there was a... Let me see. This is going to be very... This is going back close to 20 years. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is because I just need to. Activision sued Viacom over the poor reception or the poor sales of Star Trek Armada. And this was back in, like I said, back in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
So they or Activision filed the lawsuit against media giant Viacom for failing to make enough Star Trek. And the whole crux of this was they signed the two parties signed in a 1998 agreement for the rights to video game development. Viacom had only produced one Star Trek film and has taken two popular television series off the air, leaving just one show with weak ratings in their stead. Said that the shows that were taken off the air were Deep Space Nine and Voyager. The show with the weak ratings was Enterprise. And Activision, this quote says, or the suit charges that Activision cannot successfully develop and sell Star Trek video games without the product exploitation and support promised by Viacom. A continuing pipeline of movie and television production and related marketing is absolutely crucial to the success of video games based on properties such as Star Trek. And I'm just going to just do a TLDR. Because Star Trek Elite Force 2 didn't do well, Activision went on to sue Viacom, and the thing that's just bonkers, Activision won. Then again, them winning is a light. They ended up settling, but yeah, just I'm gonna make a note to put this article from GamesIndustry.biz in the show notes because I first learned about this. I learned about this when I was watching an old Super Best Friends Play video, and that should have been a warning sign about Activision.
They've always been up to sneaky tricks.
Yeah, just the fact that they sued and then didn't get thrown out of court for it is just nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now we got some bad news.
All right. So if you followed our website for a little while, you'll see that we ran a feature regarding Warner Brothers' Smash Bros-like, as they would say, called Multiverses. And we've been kind of fans of it. It was a cool game.
I won't say I'm a fan of it. I never actually played the game.
Okay. All right. Well,
I did try to pitch. I did pitch some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like the final boss article.
Yes.
That was my pitch. Like I just like, this person has to be the final boss of the game of the thing, because he's making himself out to be the perfect end boss.
Yeah, no, that was definitely the perfect end boss.
And it was like right when when he was making himself out to be like a terrible person and like just a very dumb businessman, for like just as I think John Oliver put it, burning down HBO just to collect the insurance money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Warner Brothers has been absolutely fucking things up left and right. And this is no different. So this comes from Kotaku. and it's Zach Zwiesen over at Kotaku. And our story is that surprising fans, WB's Smash Bros.-like multiverses, shutters until 2024. And it says with no refunds. We'll talk about that. So they announced that Multiverses, which has been an open beta, that's this whole time has just been a beta period. I think we knew that, but kind of crazy here. So they announced it will be shutting down. This says 90 days. I don't know exactly what the date is, but it might say a little further on. So they promise that the game will return in early 2024. In the meantime, players will be unable to play online and no new updates will be released. And in bad news for players who invested money into the game, WB Games has no current plans to offer refunds. So it says, yeah, July 2022, which is when Multiverses came out, it became one of the most popular games on Steam very quickly. And it, you know, it featured a lot of Warner Brothers IP from Scooby-Doo to Bugs Bunny. Well, not Scooby-Doo. He wasn't in there. Shaggy.
Was he in there keeping it real?
Yeah, he was in there keeping it real, you know. And as of last month, most of the game's PC audience was gone. And there was just a lot of, I think they did like two or three seasons. And they put in a couple new characters, but there was really just a lack of updates overall. And yeah, it just kind of fell apart. So now they have announced with this tweet saying, MVPs, thank you for the support during open beta. The feedback and inspiration has been amazing. Open beta will close on June 25th. As we prepare for full launch in early 2024, Multiverses will be back better than ever with new content, features, modes, and more when we return. Which is kind of crazy because I figured that this was just like a soft launch, but a launch nonetheless, and that this was going to be the game that we had. I really wasn't expecting this to be some kind of beta period, but I guess it's going to come back and be stronger than ever, so that's kind of cool. And yeah, let's see, I'm just reading this, seeing it's all pretty much the same stuff. The director, Tony Hun? Let's go with Hun. Explained the team was shutting down the beta, saying that while it has been an important learning opportunity for the studio and a stepping stone to the next phase, picture all the air quotes, of the free-to-play fighter, there's, quote, still a lot of work to do. So they know that they have to focus on things like new characters, maps, and modes, and they'll be reworking the progression system based on feedback and looking at new ways for you to connect with your friends in the game. So, like I said, they're closing in on June 25th. I'm hoping to get us to do some kind of game night by then to at least have some like idea of what it was like before it became a real full big game. And I guess I will touch on this part that during this extended downtime, all the game's online modes and features will be unavailable. Players will also have limited offline access to the in-game training room and local matches. Elsewhere in the post, an FAQ confirms that Multiverses is being completely delisted from digital stores on April 4th. Oh boy. So get it. Premium currency will also be removed from the game during this extended shutdown. So this is where it gets weird. Kotaku says that last part is worth noting. This is a game that was selling Founders Packs and in-game currency. It had a large cosmetic shop and premium battle passes, and all of that content will effectively be worthless once the Multiverses servers shut down in June. However, all progress and content will carry over to Multiverses when it returns next year. So that's where it's weird to me. I don't understand why you need a refund if you are going to keep all of your stuff till the next, like the full release, you'll have the stuff that you got. So I don't understand why people are mad about needing a refund. I guess if you spent a lot of money on premium currency and then that doesn't carry over, but we won't know until we see the game. So, like, am I crazy in that?
No, you're not crazy. I'd say it's there should be. This whole thing stems from Warner Brothers just want to cash in immediately on everything between this Suicide Squad. The only good thing like are also the Hogwarts Legacy game.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that is actually still like the only studio in my opinion that is actually doing worthwhile stuff is NetherRealm.
Yeah, I agree.
Like I remember someone saying that like this was like back when Injustice 2 came out, that it was pretty much the best DC film, the best DC film.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, poking fun at the fact that the DC EU was such a wreck. Like it was such a train wreck and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think. I don't really know. Everything from Warner Brothers is just either crappy or shrouded in controversy. And it's just not looking good for them these days. So hopefully multiverses can come out of this stronger than ever. And hopefully by the time we see it, Warner Brothers has some of their shit together. But only time shall tell. You want to move on to the big, big news? This story has changed.
Yeah. By the time you're hearing this, the story has since shifted to something bigger. But as of this point, it was from Kotaku.com by Zach Zwizen. Ubisoft is skipping E3 2023 as the show continues to fall apart. Ubisoft has confirmed that the company won't be attending E3 2023 in Los Angeles this summer. This is a reversal for the publisher, as it confirmed last month that it would be attending the annual trade show. Debuting in Atlanta in 1995, E3, the Electronic Entertainment Expo, quickly established itself as the most important video game trade show in the world, attracting hundreds of game developers and publishers from around the globe to come to Los Angeles for a weekend to show off upcoming games and gaming-related hardware. However, in the years leading up to the COVID-19 pandemic, the show's importance had started to decline, with some companies skipping it or barely attending. In 2020, E3 was canceled, and since then the show has struggled to survive and remain relevant. And now, as Ubisoft confirms, it won't be part of the event this year. It doesn't look good for the old Electronic Entertainment Expo. And yeah, there's more to this.
As of like today, right? Or yesterday?
As of yesterday, yeah.
Okay.
The old E3 2023 got canceled.
Indeed. Unprecedented, even.
I won't say unprecedented. It was 2019 was actually like 2018. If I think it was 2018 was, or was it 2017 or 2018 was when, Sony was last there. So I remember the big thing was when they showed off Last of Us Part 2.
Oh yeah.
But that said, like ever since like 2007, people were, or 2000, like the late 2000s, things were starting to go downhill. Like you had Rockstar bowing out, then you had Activision bowing out, then the first of the big guns bowing out, which was Nintendo, and like with them starting the Nintendo Showcase directs. Then Sony backed out after 2018. Then Microsoft stopped, and yeah, ever since it's if anything it was a domino effect of it was always going to lead to this.
It's a lot easier to just not have to get everybody together in a theater. I mean, we grew up on like watching palpable excitement of watching a crowd get excited in a theater. That will be lost to time, and that's sad, but I do feel like it's just easier to be like, hey, here's a half hour or an hour showcase. We've got everything all at once, and it's been working out fine.
Yeah, I was actually going to say that internet speeds are getting faster and faster as time went on. Sort of, that also was one of the death knells of E3, because like with internet speeds being, or internet, with modern internet speeds being what they are and being accessible to a lot of people, it was very easy to have things be locked behind the you can't handle this. You literally can't handle this or anything. And you're not like you can't run this or yeah. It's Dan Reichert. He had a great tweet from I want to say I think it was today. It was basically Dan saying, or Dan Reichert tweeting, I stumbled into a sneak peek of E3 2023, and it was just Dan inside the, it was the empty convention center.
That's sad. Too soon.
No, like, there's no, there's certain kidding. Things that I love about E3, and a lot of that, but I think then again, the whole thing is not E3 itself. It has to do with when I was writing, like, when I was 2013, 2014, 2015. Were nightmares when having to cover E3, like for VGU.
Mm-hmm.
Like have you heard of, like, you've seen this, like, the term, like the term for that thrown around, war room?
Yeah.
What I remember, because I've blocked some of this stuff out because it was just so hectic. I'd have the Skype chat open because that's how we communicated. That was the only way we could communicate. And we would have posts ready. We would have posts, draft posts, because whoever got their stuff out the quickest got the most traffic. And I was just, it was a nightmare.
Mm.
That said, I there's still a memory that I have of just from like 2013, 2014, E3. Tom Freeman, who was a writer for VG.TV back when, he loves Battlefront, and when
mm-hmm. who doesn't?
And when this is like when everyone, like, when people were like, when rumors were going around that DICE were gonna make a new Battlefront game, and like we're all watching the like, you'll have our, like, on our ends, we all have Twitch on it. You'll have like some website open that's showing the events, and there's just the tease, not even the full trailer, just the tease for Battlefront, and in all caps, Battlefront 3. Oh no, it was Battlefront, like stuff like that. I'll always love.
Yeah,
and then there's like stuff that later on, after VGU, like in between VGU and LHG, that I enjoyed seeing, like, pretty much every time, Giant Bomb stuff, every Giant Bomb thing, like every time they have their the most common thing I've seen was I missed E3 because I missed seeing being able to see Jeff have his own talk show or his own late night show, because that's what it was.
Oh, my computer just like broke. Nope, it's back. It's good. God, there's never not a technical difficulty on this show. Well, rest in peace, E3. We hardly knew ye. Don't they insist that they're going to be back?
Yeah.
There was like a statement.
Yeah, just that this year is not happening.
Hmm. Sure. We'll see. But hey, you like legal jargon?
I mean, just gotta look back at the Fortnite stuff that we covered.
Exactly, that was great. We need Raul in here to friggin' go through this. Literally, I'm just gonna like read it word for word, so the people who care can care. But for some reason, this is exciting to some people, and I'm just like, I don't really get it. But anyway, here we go. So this comes from Eurogamer. Ed Nightingale, what a name, over at Eurogamer. So Microsoft and Activision, they're fighting. Microsoft's trying to take Activision over. Maybe they're not fighting. I don't know. Is there a problem? Anyway, here's what goes on. All right. Bid to take over Activision Blizzard, quote, will not result in a substantial lessening of competition in relation to console gaming in the UK. Right off the bat, that confuses me. But I digress. The CMA has today updated its provisional findings. This is not today. By the way, there are two updates to this story. I will get to them. This is the original story. So they updated their provisional findings on the basis of new evidence in response to these findings, the most significant of which relates to Microsoft's financial incentives to make Activision's games, including Call of Duty, exclusive. Quote, while the CMA's original analysis indicated that this strategy would be profitable under most scenarios, new data, which provides better insight into the actual purchasing behavior of COD gamers, indicates that this strategy would be significantly loss-making under any plausible scenario. On this basis, the updated analysis now shows that it would not be commercially beneficial to Microsoft to make COD exclusive to Xbox following the deal. The CMA's addendum to its provisional findings relates only to console competition and not cloud gaming services, while it continues to, quote, carefully consider the responses provided. Having considered the additional evidence provided, we have now provisionally concluded that the merger will not result in a substantial lessening of competition in console gaming services because the cost to Microsoft of withholding Call of Duty from PlayStation would outweigh any gains from taking such action, said Martin Coleman, chair of the independent panel of experts, is set to announce its final decision on the takeover on April 26th. So, we move on to the update. Everybody still with me? Allie's still awake?
Yeah, just had to take some Advil.
Awesome. We move on to update one. Microsoft has issued a statement in response to the CMA's provisional conclusion, saying, quote, we appreciate the CMA's rigorous and thorough evaluation of the evidence and welcome its updated provisional findings. Quote, this deal will provide more players with more choice in how they play Call of Duty and their favorite games. We look forward, pardon me, to working with the CMA to resolve any outstanding concerns. Activision Blizzard. Blah.
No. Roll with it. Keep going. Activision Blizzard.
Activision Blizzard also issued a statement, obviously in support of the CMA's decision, saying, quote, the CMA's updated provisional findings show an improved understanding of the console gaming, demonstrate a commitment to supporting players and competition. Sony's campaign to protect its dominance by blocking our merger can't overcome the facts, and Microsoft has already presented effective and enforceable remedies to address each of the CMA's remaining concerns. We know this deal will benefit competition, innovation, and consumers in the UK. Now we get to update two. The CMA's provisional conclusion, quote, swings the pendulum back in favor of the deal completing. So this person, Ampere Analysis's Piers Harding Rolls, said, quote, my long-term view of this deal has always been that it would complete, but with further concessions from Microsoft to smooth the process. However, the provisional Phase 2 findings of the CMA did give me pause for thought, considering the structural remedies proposed. Today's updated findings swings the pendulum back in favor of the deal completing. It now just remains to be seen how Microsoft and the CMA deal with the concern around cloud gaming services. The recent deals that Microsoft has signed are partially relevant, but I don't think these completely satisfy concerns around the inherent advantages that Microsoft holds when it comes to cloud infrastructure. Overall, though, this is clearly positive news for Microsoft and Activision Blizzard. And scene. Are we excited?
Yeah, I guess. I'm not. We still technically have Activision on the do not discuss list.
Right. This is true. So, hey, Microsoft, keep on doing what you're doing, I guess. Thank you all for listening.
So this one comes to us from GameRanks.
Indeed it does.
EA will be sunsetting four games this April. By Dennis Patrick.
I think it's actually three games now.
Oh, no. I'm gonna get that.
Okay, alright, cool.
EA has taken to its official website to reveal that there are multiple Battlefield games, along with Mirror's Edge, being removed from online storefronts. It's noted that starting on April 28th, 2023, players will no longer be able to purchase Battlefield 1943, Battlefield Bad Company 1 or 2, or 1 and 2, and Mirror's Edge. Fortunately, it does seem if you're a fan of these games already and enjoy them online, you'll have a bit more time to keep playing them without any interruptions. According to the EA post, it's stated that the removal of these games is in preparation for the retirement of their online services. So while you can enjoy these games online still, that will eventually end. Players will find access to the online services will come on December 8th, 2023. With that said, even if you find that their online services will be removed, you'll still find that the games will be accessible for offline features, including single-player campaigns. And now going back to the update, because people flipped. They freaked out. They freaked out EA. EA turned back on what they were going to do and said, because literally Twitter blew up. Not just because Elon Musk is powering it with crude oil. This came from... Okay, well, so the update... While there are still plans to sunset the Battlefield games mentioned, a new tweet from the official Battlefield Twitter account confirmed that Mirror's Edge won't be removed. The earlier post noted that the game was included in the batch of titles being removed, but that's actually not the case. So you won't see Mirror's Edge being removed from digital storefronts. But with that said, if anything, Bad Company 1 and 2 should not be delisted.
Yeah, that's like the big one. Like
those are the
people love those games.
Bad Company 2 on its own is enough to warrant a feeling of you can't do this to me. Do you know how much I sacrificed? Like the game ends on a dang cliffhanger for a third game.
Oh really?
Did you ever play the Bad Company
games? No, I never played the Bad Company games. I remember growing up when I didn't have an Xbox 360 yet, people used to talk about them so much in school, and I never got around to playing them.
Okay, so Bad Company 1 was sort of the start of, or was, yeah, it was kind of the start of Dice getting into the whole destruction effects with like destructible environments, because the trailer for the first trailer for the game is Bad Company, like the actual squad, blowing up different, like blowing up buildings and stuff. And yeah, Bad Company 1 is more of a Three Kings situation, where Bad Company is what's the best way to say this? It's the reject squad, our squadron.
Mm-hmm. The Bad Batch, if you will.
No, Bad Batch is more of the A team. And if you think, I'm just saying, look, think of the Bad Batch, and now think of the Bad Batch with the feature, with each character feature, like having the feature, like comparing the features of that character with their counterpart from the A team. It'll be ruined for you. But Bad Company 1 was basically a plot instead of being like a gritty war story, it was a fairly comedic take on war. And also it's got the best main menu music. One of my favorite things to do when I was younger, I would take my Xbox 360 headset. Like I would take like the Bluetooth looking one, like the one looks like the ones that you that clips onto your ear.
Mm-hmm.
I would take it off, put it next to my PC speaker, and crank on the Battlefield, the Bad Company theme, and I would just get repeatedly yelled at by the people I was playing games with, and. Bad Company 2 is legitimately one of the best games of all time. Like, best single-player stories of all time. The way it handles... Like, there's a certain sequence in Bad Company 2 with where you're trying to avoid getting frostbite. And it's handled in the most realistic... Yeah, it's handled in a very realistic, serious manner. Mm-hmm. And... Yeah, like the game technically ends, and you find out that a certain like the enemy of the main enemy of the sequel attacked the U.S. and the things would have and I don't know where things would have gone with the potential third game. So yeah.
Well, it's time that I jump onto that then.
But speaking of,
oh, I see what you're talking. Very good.
Game Pass.
Yes, yes. I have two more stories that I'm going to power through here because they're rather small. So our first one comes from Eurogamer again. Ed Nightingale again over at Eurogamer. It's trial offer of Game Pass for, they say £1. I believe it's $1 here, like actually $1. Was it a month of Game Pass for $1? Yes.
Yeah, it is.
And the trial was around for some time. I don't know exactly when it started, It's just been the thing for quite a while. Like, just try it out, get a month for $1. And Microsoft is now considering new promotions instead. The Xbox website now includes just the standard subscription prices, which is, oh geez, these are all in pounds. Good lord. I don't even know. I think I pay $15 for Ultimate, which includes console, PC, and cloud. And yeah, I mean, I've seen other little sales going on. They've had some good deals on like 3 months you can get for cheaper. And many suspect that Microsoft may be about to expand its friends and family plan, which lets subscribers share benefits with up to 4 other friends or family members. And Yeah, it's currently only available in Ireland, New Zealand, South Africa, Chile, Hungary, Israel, and Sweden, which is kind of odd, like, to have that in those places, but not, like, I don't know, like, Japan. But, yeah.
Well, it's most likely they're hitting those areas first as a way to test the waters without putting it in the main market.
That makes sense. Try it in some smaller areas.
Yeah. Also, as for the friends and family plan, that had already shown up on the main Xbox website in the US. So,
oh wow. So it's right around the corner.
Yeah, like I think it was $39.99 or $39.95.
Well, that could be interesting. I'd definitely love to be able to share my Game Pass with friends and family of mine. So that could be cool. You're no longer able to do the dollar for the month. Very sorry, very sad, but you had some time to do it. So speaking of time to do things, I will jump into this story. You have some stuff you wanted to say about it, but I'll just kind of go over what we got. This past week, we saw a 10-minute glimpse into The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, which is the long-awaited Breath of the Wild sequel. And it does kind of look like more of the same, and it's just a small little paragraph, but really this sums it all up. So the company showed off 10 minutes of gameplay from its sequel. Its producer, Eiji Onuma, showed off many familiar game mechanics, augmented with special elevator stones to fast-track you to floating islands. I'll briefly branch off. So they showed basically a world above the main world, which are floating islands, and you were able to kind of just fly up into them with a time distortion mechanic that you now have. New fusion weapons, like boats and hovercrafts, not to mention the already teased drone-style aircraft. So, yes, they also showed a fusion mechanic, which allows you to not only make vehicles and things out of just materials in the world to access different areas and whatnot, but you can also fuse your own weapons now, which strengthens the weapon durability. And the discourse has kind of been that people are still kind of irritated about the whole weapon durability thing. I didn't know that was a real big point of contention. Everyone was pretty pissed about it forever, and they're kind of mad that they didn't get rid of it altogether. But yeah, with the fusion, you can basically say, oh, well, this stick is going to break fast, so if I fuse a rock to the stick, I can make it stronger and also make a different weapon that attacks differently and has like a different area of effect or something like that. So a lot more customization with your game, and just, I think, pretty cool. On top of this, they announced a brand new Switch console, which is Zelda themed, gold plated with the whole, not gold plated, but gold colored with the insignia on it. And they also announced a new controller?
Yeah, a new Pro Controller.
Pro Controller, yes. Those come out May 12th. You can pre-order them now with the game. So, yeah, you can now just kind of take the floor and say what you'd like about Tears of the Kingdom.
So, I have not finished Breath of the Wild.
Okay.
I have not played Breath of the Wild in about maybe 9 months, which is complete irony. Or just because I have the game cartridge, or the game card in my Switch currently, but I just haven't been able to do that to play it, because if I load up my PS5, I realize I gotta play some. I have to play more MLB. If I load up my Xbox, I realize I gotta play more Resident Evil 4. If I load up my PC, I think, oh god, I gotta do stuff.
What am I doing here?
Yeah, it's like I gotta work on this thing that I'm keeping secret.
Ah, true.
So I do like from what I have played of the game, I do like it. Of Breath of the Wild, that is.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed Brandon and DJ.
Yes.
Having a bit of like a bit of arguing on Twitter about this whole thing.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it wasn't like hostile or anything, but it was kind of. No, it was just eye opening.
It was more like it was more. It was like Brandon is interested. He's interested in the like he's a fan of the durability stuff.
Mm-hmm.
DJ is not, and frankly, the fact that it took the franchise this long to get to the weapon durability stuff is like with the Zelda games with the Legend of Zelda games, they don't like sure they'll do a gimmick if it's something like I don't know Skyward Sword. And that's certainly the only one I can think of. And or but when there's a or maybe you could say the same thing with Ocarina of Time. But when there's something at like when there's a bunch of core themes or core elements, like the Sheikah Slate with Breath of the Wild,
mm-hmm.
or Breath of the Wild was just it just felt like a total reinvention of the whole formula, and for a game series that from Ocarina of Time to Wind Waker to Twilight Princess to Breath of the Wild, you're thinking, they should have gone with weapon durability by the time of like Twilight Princess or Skyward Sword.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I didn't mention. I just saying, Majora's Mask, Skyward Sword, Link's Awakening, those games are technically like the other Four Swords, Minish Cap. I don't really hold those in the same light as the main ones, due to them just you can just tell that there's different parts to it. When I first got my Switch, 6 years ago. I'm pretty sure, Breath of the Wild was the first game I got with it. Like, I got that was a bundle I got because you currently have the copy I bought back when.
Oops. I've tried it, though. I've jumped in.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's a good game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I technically had, there was another game that I played, that was close to it, Gods and Monsters.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've heard.
And yeah, that I can't play that game without. Like, I play that game and I just think this is too much like Breath of the Wild. This is just gimmick infringement.
Gimmick infringement.
Yeah.
How dare they? Yeah, I gotta play that game.
And the thing I'm just mad at myself for, I didn't know how to set up the dock. Like for the first three from 2017 to 2019, 2020, I barely played my Switch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you didn't know how to set up the Switch dock?
Yeah. Like,
oh,
I didn't use it. I had nothing. The only thing I was playing was, and that was like, and this is very occasional, was Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3.
Okay. I played that almost exclusively handheld. I want to replay it though, docked.
I kept trying to play Breath of the Wild when it was like what in the Switch, like before this, like I tried playing the Switch in handheld mode with Breath of the Wild. That was not a good idea.
Wait, you tried playing Breath of the Wild handheld and it wasn't good?
It was too much for me to handle, like too much for me to process. So I was like, I was just overloaded.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So once I eventually figured out how to, once I got it, like my Switch dock I have now is set up perfectly. The one back then was like the launch one. And I didn't know I had no idea how to get it to work, how to correctly do everything. And now, thankfully, I know how to do everything. And yeah.
Well, I hope that Breath of the Wild 2, I mean, Tears of the Kingdom, successful and people enjoy it. But as of right now, seems kind of up in the air on how that's going to land. But yeah. Do we want to... Well, we don't really have much else to say. I mean, do you want to briefly touch on Welcome to the Show?
I haven't really played... I've played a good amount, but I haven't played a good amount of... I've mainly played a good amount of one specific mode, and even then...
Right, one feature.
Well, yeah, I've only played... I've been dabbling in one in another feature. So I'm waiting. I think next time we record, we could talk about this.
Yeah, that's fine. I also don't have much to say about it as I'm getting a pitch right now.
Like the game is like I'm enjoying it a lot more than I did. Like a lot more than I did, like last year. So,
you like it more than you did last year?
I like it. I like this year's version more than I did last year's version.
Wow, and we liked last year's. I think we were fans of it.
Yeah, we reviewed it higher than we did 21.
Yeah. Granted, that wasn't hard.
Yeah.
All right. Well. The windmill is a spinning, and she's got some things that I can go into if you want. We didn't divvy these up. Do you want me to just kind of go through them? Or do you want me to divvy them?
Yeah, no, you go through them.
Okay. The windmill, she giveth and she taketh, and she's not always full of a ton of news, but this week I got four of them. One of them being the remnants of a canned open world Activision Donkey Kong game. So of course these always come from Reddit, but then they come from various sources. So this source is from a Famiboards and a Twitter and a YouTube Live. Like, there's all these different things. Anyway, looking at Famiboards, they talked about they were talking about why Donkey Kong has been on hiatus for a long time. And I don't know, this was kind of an interesting little blurb that I figured I wanted to read. So it says, the reason Donkey Kong has been on hiatus for so long isn't because Nintendo doesn't know. DK's big comeback game has been in development since at least 2016. Vicarious Visions, the developers of the Crash Bandicoot and Sane trilogy, were working on an open-world 3D DK game following the release of Skylanders Superchargers. Miyamoto was contributing design ideas and loved what he saw, but for various reasons, the project was shelved and development shifted over to EPD Tokyo in 2018, sometime after the release of Super Mario Odyssey. This is where the conclusion stems from. Everybody assumes that this new Donkey Kong game is going to be a 2D platformer, and it very well could be, just to entertain the thought of Nintendo investing the resources into an ambitious DK game when they could just make a new 3D Mario instead. However, the game that was in development prior to the shift was most definitely not 2D. Other than a few minor details, such as Pauline being a playable character, this is all I know about the canceled Donkey Kong project. So, it says this is all speculation, of course. This was from Professor Chops over at the Famiboards. You know. Yeah, so to go back... Yeah,
the Famicom boards.
Yeah. There's the... Oh, Jesus. I opened the video and it was loud, loud. So then there's YouTube video where they talk about it for a little bit. And then what is the tweet? I just got to double check here. I think it's just people kind of getting their ideas, their hands on this idea and kind of going with it. Comicbook.com tweeted, Nintendo is rumored to be working on an open world Donkey Kong game. So yeah, it's possible. A lot of people just saying it, mentioning it in general. I see that Donkey Kong could come back. I don't know why he couldn't. The Tropical Freeze was a big game, a big deal. People liked it a lot. It got remastered. I don't know. It's just the Donkey Kong's begging for a return, and with the Mario movie coming out, and he's going to be a big character in it. Like, I don't know. I don't see why not. Would you be excited?
I don't know if you saw Grant Kirkhope's tweet about the DK rap.
Yes, yes, I did.
That was heartwarming to see.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Like, his was
very
for the longest time. I hated this. I really didn't like this. This piece of music, or this
mm-hmm.
this rap. But seeing it being used in conjunction with the movie, it's just I'm glad that people are starting to see the gold of that.
Yeah, it's a true classic of our time. Well, not our time. This Mario movie is going to be full of memes. Once that gets actually out into the world, there's no holding back. So moving on to the next rumor, I figured you might be excited about this, at the very least probably Josh, but Skies of Arcadia is possibly getting a remaster. So this comes from Xbox Era. They had a video that just links to the talking about it. And I think, oh my god, it's so hard to navigate. It's like it opens up different things. And okay. It doesn't give me the quote. It doesn't. So I'd have to watch the video. Why didn't I watch the video? Son of a bitch. Well, I guess it was mentioned. I came very ill prepared to this party. I guess it's mentioned in this video. That Skies of Arcadia is rumored to get a remaster. So this JRPG was originally on Dreamcast and then on GameCube. Assuming the remaster is targeting PC and the last two console gens, though they haven't explicitly said this. Also, this sub got... Never mind. Let's talk about the rumor. The sub. Anyway, Skies of Arcadia. Have you ever played it?
Unfortunately not. I've not played it. I really wish I did because the game is just universally loved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've definitely heard about it before, but I my knowledge is limited. Hmm. I have to track this down for the Dreamcast. The third rumor here is rather exciting. F-Zero GX rumored to receive Nintendo Switch remaster from Next Level Games. Especially when we have news that's like possibly it mentions a studio, but yeah, according to Ninty Prime on Twitter, F-Zero GX remaster is being developed by Next Level Games for Switch. This is still a rumor, of course, but I hope it comes true, blah blah blah. And I swear I read somewhere that he has like had good takes before that have come true. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But yeah, I'd be excited for more F-Zero. Would you?
I don't remember last F-Zero game. Like
Say it was GameCube.
Yeah, that was over 20 years ago.
Latest release 2004. F-Zero Climax on the Game Boy Advance. Wow. Yeah, people look back on F-Zero fondly, and then obviously, like, in Smash Bros. And character, but, like, the fact that they've never really revisited it is really so wild to me. Because it's just a hard, like, a more hardcore racing game than Mario Kart. And that kind of shit does well. I don't know why, like, you look at a game like Wipeout that was very, very similar to F-Zero vibes, and that did well, and then that kind of went the way of the dodo, and it's just like...
Same with Fatal Inertia.
True. Yeah, they're all very... I mean, like, what's the closest thing now? I can't even think. Maybe, like, that game Grip that I liked, that arcade racer is kind of similar. You get them every once in a while from, like, indie studios, but nothing... Very, like, to have Nintendo make a big racing game, that would be crazy. So, it would be really cool, even though it is a remaster. So, fingers crossed that one comes to light. And then, finally, our last one, we love to talk about Suicide Squad. And this is kind of a rumor, but kind of also news. It comes from Video Games Chronicle, so I guess, like, grain of salt, but it sounds right. So I'm just going to read this story from Tom Ivan. So it's that Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League's live service elements are highly unlikely to be dropped. So a Bloomberg source claimed recently announced May release date to the second half of 2023. I think that was big news. People knew that. But following the report, Giant Bomb reporter Jeff Grubb said a reliable source had told him the game may not arrive until 2024, which is pretty crazy. And Warner has yet to comment on that, but the journalist who originally broke the story has now suggested extra development time will be used to polish Suicide Squad rather than to rework its live service elements, which attracted some criticism following. And that basically seems to be the consensus. I've seen people say, like, you can't delay a game and then expect to just have it be changed from the ground up. You're really only going to have, like, polish changes. So, I mean, don't expect anything huge. You're basically still going to get the same game, but certain things can change. And it's weird that the live service stuff isn't what they're going to address, because they could take that out. So Jason Schreier had tweeted, Rocksteady, quote, Rocksteady has not yet announced Suicide Squad delay, perhaps because there's still no new date. Staff were told a few weeks ago it's coming later this year, but they still don't know when. Possible it slips to 2024, but one thing seems certain, the core game isn't changing. As we know, we had seen a video of it at the a PlayStation Direct. They had 15 minutes of gameplay, and people didn't really love it. They confirmed that it'll feature a battle pass, but it was only going to contain cosmetic items. So it's just, I don't know, just checking all the boxes for people to get angry. And yeah, this rumor just basically doesn't help that it may not lose those things that people were mad about. How are you feeling about Kill the Justice League these days?
I'm not interested. I have no interest in that game.
Okay,
could be.
I understand.
Especially also, even if I were, there's a certain character in there that I'd feel like a real scumbag if they end up having to kill a character.
Okay, like if a certain character dies, you would feel bad that you had to kill them.
Yeah, and it's pretty clear who that character is. Yeah, because the performer is no longer with us.
They don't need that to be their send off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a feeling there's not gonna be really any Justice League deaths in that game. I don't think you're really gonna kill the Justice League, especially when we know now that it's like Brainiac's behind it. I think you're probably going to get to, if not play like Superman, you're going to fight alongside him after you, like, break the curse. and it's just going to be kind of the enemy of our enemy type of thing. But I don't know. I don't think you're going to be like, yeah, now press X to fucking rip Flash's head off. I don't think any of that's going to happen. But we will see. I'm interested in the story of it and performances like that one. But yeah, let's hope it goes well. But speaking of going well, this podcast has gone well. It's been great to be back. And so yeah, thank you all for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe to us on whatever podcast service you prefer. And don't forget to follow our Twitter at VGUWinPod for updates. You can follow me on Twitter at GreatLow777. That's GRAYTLO 37s. Alan is at the Alan Muir. That's M-U-I-R. I never spell that out for people, but you know, if you look up the Alan M, it might come up. As well as VGU's official Twitter, which is at VGU_TV. We're all over the place. Everybody's got a Twitter. Why not follow all of us? I don't know if I have our handles on the staff page, but I should do that. That would be smart. Please subscribe to us on YouTube. That channel is not only kind of popping off, but we are lining up a lot of great content. So definitely please keep an eye on that. And we will have great stuff for you. Handle there is at VGU TV. We're that the smaller one, but growing. And of course, our full website is VGU.TV. Alan, thank you very much for joining me today.
No problem.
It has been a pleasure as always. And I feel that I want to definitely say this, but happy day, Trans Day of Visibility to everyone. I know it's no longer that. I mean, hell, it's April Fool's Day now. Keep an eye on the site. But try to always fight for rights here on this site and talk about like where our loyalties lie. I think we're pretty open about that. But yeah, be nice to people, you know, be accepting, be helpful, be friendly. And yeah, this has been the Week of News. We'll see you in two.
This has been a VGU.TV production. For all of the hottest hot takes and other opinions on video games, music, and a lot more, tune in to VGU.TV.